What's good, y'all?
We are Robin and Danny.
Or Danny and Robin.
And this is Two Black Girls Talking.
Hey guys, I know it's been a while, and I'm not going to make any false promises about me picking up the mic and really starting to podcast again on a regular basis, but I am starting to do some fun and exciting things in my life. I've started hosting an open mic night at a place called Sunset Place in Miami, if ever you guys are in the area and would like to check that out. Also, I did my first performance for a church revival. That went really well, and this is my second performance as a quote-unquote professional poet, and it was at a seedy, greasy bar on 8th Street, and it was the stuff that my dreams are made of. I'm finally living out my dreams in my 20s and really giving off main character energy. So I just thought I'd share with you guys my practice set that I did, because I was unable to get a recording of the real set that I could put here on Anchor. But anyways, here it goes. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Wow, you all look good. Not as good as me, but you do look good. I'm just kidding. Thank you so much for having me here this evening. Thank you, Lena, for putting together this beautiful little showcase we're having. Thank you, Bar Nancy, for hosting us. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Just thanks all around. If you've yet to go grab something at the bar, I recommend that you go ahead and grab yourself a smile, you son of a bitch, because what can we do in this life besides smile? And I also recommend the yuca fries. They're really good. But anyways, so my name is Janae Blakely. And yesterday, my mother, my father, and I came out to Bar Nancy to get a feel for the land, kind of see what the crowd was like. And if it sounds like I don't have any friends in my life to do that type of stuff with me, then you would be 110% correct. I do not. So anyways, my parents and I come to the bar, we get our drinks, we sit down, kind of looking around. And at first, I was very nervous. I was very nervous to do this showcase for you guys because I do not perform very often. I just started performing regularly. And my mom was nervous that I would be nervous and that I wouldn't feel safe to perform and that I wouldn't fit in, basically. And that was until she looked around and the speaker started blaring, "Beverly Hills, that's where I wanna be. Gimme, gimme. Gimme, gimme, living in Beverly Hills." And she sees me just rocking out. She's like, "You know what? You're gonna be fine. You're gonna be just fine because you're gonna be amongst your people. So I'm so happy to be here amongst my people tonight. Is anybody here in a relationship? Relationship? Here with your significant other, your spouse? Really, just anything to get away from those kids, huh? A couple people? Aw, that's so sweet. Actually, my parents' anniversary is this week, so it's really the season of love for me. And I just want to say, aside from my parents, I wish you all absolutely nothing but tears and devastation. I hope that the relationship crumbles before your very eyes. I hope and pray. I'm manifesting right now amongst the room discontent and sadness and sorrow for everybody, because I am single and I am bitter about it. And if it's my problem, it's going to be your problem as well. I'm kidding. I love love. Woo! Love just doesn't love me. Anyways, tonight's collection of poems is entitled The Love Collection. It details my relationship with my former sneaky link that went on for 10 years, and I am only 26 years old. So, yeah, it's a big chunk of my life. And really, it all starts with me being 15, and very jaded about life, because in my mind, right, I've got all these hormones going through my body, I smell weird, I've got acne, I stopped growing in the fourth grade, but in my mind, my brain is still growing, and everyone's conspiring against me and waiting for my downfall, and it's a whole conspiracy theory against me, when in actuality, everyone is so self-centered that nobody cares what you are going through at all. The people who do, complete losers. You don't need to worry about them. But really, what most people wanted from me more than anything else were the answers to third period's math homework, which I normally had and gave freely. So, who figures? But this poem was inspired about my desire, my need at such a young age to just love and be loved. And that poem is entitled Letter to My Future Lover. And it goes like this. I'm writing in the hopes that you exist, that in a sea full of 8 billion people, there is still a solitary island upon which I can find respite, a piece of land I can call my own. Dear future lover, when we meet, I do not expect it to be love at first sight, for I have been blinded by beauty before, lured by the shine and sparkle of promise, of hope for something new. When I first see you, I only pray it feels warm, like a kiss from the sun. Dear future lover, when you hold me, do not be alarmed by the grooves in my skin, markers where others had tried to mold me into being their own, stretch marks evidence of the pieces I expanded, attempting to fill their emptiness, decorated in fingerprints that don't belong to me. Dear future lover, please ignore this songbird's sad melodies, low and rumbling, like the thunder announcing a coming storm. Feathers that ruffle at a single touch, having had to choose between flight and fight for far too long. Be gentle, I beg, with this battered soul. Thank you. Right? Is that just cute? It's kind of cute. Gosh, I just wanted someone to love me. I do not know what the obsession was. I truly do not understand it. I needed professional medical attention when I was younger. I still do. Anyways, so then in comes my sneaky link. And at the time when I meet him, I'm 16 now, and I'm supposed to be going to Texas with my family to go see my mother's family. Unfortunately, my father falls ill and we are unable to go. And being a rambunctious 16-year-old, needs to stretch her legs, needs to get out of the house, needs to be anywhere my parents can't see me, I decide to go walk around my neighborhood. As I'm walking around my neighborhood, I see two boys playing football. Now, I've lived on my street my entire life. So for 16 years of my life, I've been going in and out the same front door, walking up and down the same sidewalk. I've never seen this boy before. So, of course, I pretend, oh, look, I must have dropped something at the corner of this street. I must go investigate and see what I have left behind. Really, I'm just nosy. Like my mama and I go and I look at the boys. And one of them was, mwah, chef's kiss, beautiful. And while it wasn't love at first sight, clearly, because if it was love at first sight, we'd be together and I wouldn't be doing this poetry for you all at all. It definitely is attraction at first sight. And I didn't immediately tell everybody about him simply because I wanted to keep it for myself. I was very insecure as a child because I didn't think that I was attractive, which is clearly not true. But when I was younger, I fell very happily or unhappily into the role of the designated ugly fat friend. I was there specifically for comedic relief, things like that. But when he looked at me, you know, he was thinking some thoughts. All of them weren't funny. So, this is a poem about me trying to keep him to myself. And it is called Anonymous. When I write poems about you, I don't say your name. Don't hide its spelling in the first letter of every line. Don't make mention of your eyes, how they're my favorite place to get lost in. When I write about you, I scrub the piece clean. No clues left for others to find. Surely if I spoke of your laugh, how I'm sure God's voice could be found in its vibrations. Or your skin and how its softness makes cashmere jealous. Or your hands and how your palm's lifeline is the only measure of time I'll ever concern myself with. They know who you were in an instant. And if they knew you, they'd love you. And perhaps you'd love them back. And where would that leave me? This table for two simply can't be made to hold three. So instead, I whisper your name into the breeze. Let it get lost in the eaves of the trees. I keep you selfishly just for me. In the hopes that one day you'll do the same. In the hopes that one day you'll say my name.
Thank you.
So obviously, because this thing went on for a decade, he eventually said my name. And our demons played very well together. I mean, other kids were playing chess and checkers with each other's emotions and feelings. We were playing Russian roulette with each other's hearts, like the way real mature adults do. Anyways. And things went well for a while. I, being a girl, being the daughter of a wedding planner, had already formulated our entire life that we were going to spend together. I knew the names that we were going to give our children, Charles and Layla, and he knew the names he was going to give them, which were Never and Ever, because it was never, ever going to happen. He didn't share that bit of information with me at the time. Eventually, I decided that we can no longer be together. Because if he did not want to commit to me at year 10, year 11 was probably not going to be the one to really shake things up. And truthfully, I would love to tell you that it was this big, dynamic, monument, magnum opus of like, I've thought about it and ruminated and I'm ready to make the decision to be healthy, mature adult. And, you know, I really want to say that me and my therapist talked through this thing together and made a good, firm choice. But really what happened was I had cried the night before about him and I was tired about crying over him. But then that morning he texted me, "Good morning, beautiful." And I instantly melted because I have the backbone of a wet al dente piece of spaghetti. But then Drake came on like a beacon in the night, and Drake said, "Motherfucking never loved us." And I said, "You know what, Drake, you're right. He did never love us." So I blocked him. And then he texted me from his other phone number and I almost melted. And then Drake came on again. "He never loved us." I said, "Drake, you got it. He never loved us." So I blocked the second phone number, and then I blocked him on Instagram, then I blocked him on Facebook, and then I got upset because he did not then try to email me to win back my affection. How dare you, sir? Anyways, so I've been going through the process for the past year of just reconciling my feelings and erasing him from my life. And even though he wasn't my better half, it does feel like he was half of me. So this poem is about the process of bettering myself and sometimes writing poems about him. It's called "Can You Feel That?" I wonder, when I write poems about you, do you feel that? Do the pieces of you I muddle into each sheet of paper ache by the time I'm through? Do your ears ring? Does your skin itch? I wonder, when I pick up a mic and detail our relationship, its ups and downs, ebbs and flows, do you have to swallow your objections? Resist the urge to pick up a pen after I finish and add a subscript? That's not how the story goes. Is it strange to be a muse and an afterthought, a hero and a villain, the main character and its foil who is ultimately thrown away? As I quietly craft a new beginning for myself, rearrange the letters of the alphabet so that you and I are further apart. As I write new pieces you know nothing about, as I begin to erase you from my life, I wonder, can you feel that? Thank you. You know, and there are many reasons the relationship didn't work out. The whole not wanting to commit to me thing being, you know, the big daddy of them all. But there were still some smaller ones, like, you know, he never really called me during the daylight. He only texted me after 10 p.m. He only wanted to see me at night like I was a roach in a cheap apartment. He sleeps with his socks on. like a psychopath. Okay, like a psychopath. Good job, good job. And also, he puts pepper on his french fries like a serial killer. Like a serial killer. I saw it in a documentary. It is the number one sign that you're dealing with a serial killer is that they put pepper on their french fries and they microwave their ice cream. True story. I had an ex who did this. I have, you know, a type. Big, burly, capacity to commit murder. Ugh. Does something to my loins every time. But the main reason that we didn't work out was because he is not acquainted with himself. I know who I am as a person. My name is Janae Blakely. I'm weird. I have an affinity for comedy specials and pancakes. I like making people laugh. I like writing poetry. And I like just being a general misfit and menace to society. That's my thing, and I stand by it. He, on the other hand, does not know who he is as a person. And I'm hoping that one day when he meets himself, that we can become reacquainted and possibly reconcile from there. As such, this final piece is entitled Acquainted. I pray one day you meet yourself. Look in your reflection and rediscover your eyes, your jawline, the ever so slight curve of your spine. I hope one day you feel safe enough to peel back the layers of that carefully constructed cocoon of yours. Become acquainted with your not so pretty pieces, the jagged edges that we often pretend are smooth. Embrace the sharpness of your spirit and use it to defend yourself. I want to meet you. Let our hands touch as lovers do. Let our minds mingle until they meld into one. I want to see you beyond what optic nerves and corneas can convey. But I can only meet you as deeply as you have met yourself. So should we never truly meet and remain strangers in the night, I wish you safe passage. May life's light lead you right. Thank you. Thank you. So I guess what I'm really trying to say is that when you choose the person that you want to be with, just know that you need to choose someone who's going to choose you back. And I guess really the moral of the story is, if it's ever a hot December day and you are walking down your street and you see two men playing football, do not talk to the hot one. Talk to his brother. Okay, thank you so much. That's been my time. I'm Janae Blakely. Oh, also, before I forget, my mother, my mom, my manager, my best friend is in the back with a clear backpack. It has books inside of it. Feel free to pick one up. Feel free to buy one. Also, feel free to pick up a drink at the bar. I like the one called Smile, You Son of a Bitch, and the yuca fries are delicious. Thank you so much and good night.